Thank you for blessing us with being our Father, for blessing us for being able to be called your own. Thank you for your presence, Lord God, and for your Holy Spirit. Have your way right now, Lord God, in every one of us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. So God has basically been dealing with me and leading me to share with you a little bit of the word for this year, which is prosperity in obedience. And so to just talk to you about how I've been working through his obedience and how he actually led me to do that. He really actually be showing me how to walk through it, to walk in it, and teaching me its value, the value of obedience. And what I learned is that really, in terms of obedience, it's not just simply God telling us or telling me what he wants us to obey in, but really giving us opportunities to obey, to practice that obedience. And so that's been another opportunity today, for example, to just say yes to him and just obey him. So obviously, obedience is not always the first, at least in this world, the prosperity in obedience, not the word that we feel the most maybe excited about, because of ideas that we have about what obedience is. But I knew that that's what God needed to deal with me on. So certain things are just easier to obey than others, just because they don't require much from us sometimes. We don't have to do much about it. It's convenient. And others, we just found them more difficult because we're going to have to actively do something and just get out of our comfort zone. But really, one thing that we have learned also is through the past messages in terms of obedience, is that it is not to be associated with just simply punishment or something that we do otherwise, what is going to happen to us. It's simply, and that's what I received and God showed me, obedience is an act of love. An act of love not only from us when we say yes to God, but also an act of love from God, because for him to give us things to obey to, it's really because he loves us. He wants us to be on the right path. He wants us to he wants to bless us. He wants us to just get the fullness of his love. And so it is God giving us this requirements, I would say, but it's out of love, because God is love, and everything he does, even the correction, is always about in love. So with that, it also really changed the way I saw obedience and something that I actually desired to do, to obey God. So he's been putting that on my heart, and it's been very, just taking the word for the year really to the fullest. So the Holy Spirit was really showing me and convicting me in terms of that or obedience, and it was, he had shown me that I would at some point get out of my comfort zone. I just didn't know when and for what, but I knew it was coming. And so it's true that there is also this very important component to obedience, which is the timing. It's not about when God speaks and tells us to do something. It's not about us thinking about, let's figure out what he wants us to do, why he wants us to do something, and is it worth doing it? It's not the point. When we hear God and he gives us instructions, it's just about, okay, let's do it. It doesn't matter how I feel, and I won't let, my feelings get in the way to talk to me into not doing God's will, but simply like just go and say yes. Say yes and say yes now. So that's been also really what I was learning. And I'd been praying and asking God to show me his will and obedience, just giving me, you know, showing me how to obey him, you know, showing me how to love him. And today is definitely, you know, one of these opportunities that he has offered to me to really just say yes to something that a few years ago I wouldn't even want to hear about, standing in front of you and sharing that that is not something that I was comfortable with. So yes, again, when God asks us something from us, it's not, we don't know what the answer is going to be, how it's going to be. I mean, by that I mean we know what shape, form, the timing necessarily, but that shouldn't be relevant. You know, God says it, let's do it.
Amen.
So the way things have been working is that as part of the Vision Builders homework, you know, one of the things that we had been asked to do is to identify our gifts. And so that is something, again, I went to God about that, just to know and ask him to reveal to me my gifts, and especially for him to reveal them, because they are gifts that I think, you know, that I know I have, but I didn't want it to be just me, my own understanding, what I thought my gifts were, because as much as I may think I'm right, that those are really my gifts, I want God to tell me if they really are. And also because God reveals, and one thing that I've been really learning and standing on is the fact that to trust God and to not rely on my own understanding, to not be wise in my own eyes, because there are so many times where I honestly think that I'm correct, I'm right, you know, and I see whatever there is to see. But what I realize is that, no, I mean, there are things that are hidden, and that's another reason why God is so amazing. It's because he reveals. He wants us to see everything that he has, everything that we are. And so he did reveal one of the gifts that I didn't actually see as a gift to me, which is talking. I love talking. For those who know me, you know I can talk. I can talk you to sleep. It's just something that I love. But I never saw it as a quality, a gift, or anything. I didn't value it. It's just something that I do. That's how I am. And actually, for a long time, especially when I was younger, I didn't see that as something positive, because I remember when I was, I think, in middle school through high school, on my report cards, my teachers would always write, "Céline talks too much. She's too talkative." And so clearly, I mean, with that, I didn't see a value in it, and my teacher didn't see that either. And so later on, I didn't have those comments on the report cards because I got smarter to not be caught talking, but I was still doing it. So really, I just didn't see it as a gift. And that's also why it was good to go to God and ask him to reveal things to me. And he revealed that through people who told me, you know, yes, one of the things that you talk, you love talking, you like talking, and we like to hear you talk, I mean, to a certain extent. But, you know, and so I was thinking, that's something that I just didn't see. It's just not something that I really valued. It was just, it's part of me. So I thank God for revealing that to me. That's... God is a revealer also. In Luke 8:17, it says that for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is it anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And so it's not necessarily something that is negative, it's just simply that there are things that we just don't know and don't see. And other, unless God revealed them to us, we will not be aware of it. So That's another thing. Like in the process, I was still thanking God for that, for just, you know, blessing me also with revealing things to me and giving me, you know, opening the eyes of my heart and just seeing, you know, just seeing things the way he was seeing them, you know. So when that gift was revealed, I was asking God, so okay, now how do you want me to use it? What do you want me to do with it? And again, here again, is just going back to obedience and opportunities. God gave me an opportunity to talk, to speak. And so I just didn't know that that opportunity would come so quickly, because on Friday evening, I was talking to Pastor, and at some point, he asked me, do you think you're ready for a message? And because I mentioned to you that the Holy Spirit had put on my heart that I was going to get out of my comfort zone, I will have to, you know, just, I didn't know what it would be, but I would have to go out of my comfort zone, I kind of knew it was coming. So, you know, I told him yes. But what I didn't know then, so I was quiet actually at the beginning, you know, because one part of me was just thinking, well, really, yeah, yes, you can do a message at some point, but maybe not now, or, you know, later on. I mean, that's something that you will, you know, I can probably do. And then, so I told him yes. And then he said, basically, this Sunday. That's where, here again, I got very quiet. But again, I knew what was going on. I knew that it was my opportunity that God was offering to say yes to him, to obey him. If I say I wanted to obey him, to do his will, this was the opportunity. So I said, you know, I just said yes. And what was also very amazing is that in that saying yes, there was freedom. And there was, you know, it also showed that what I was concerned about or fearful about before wasn't real or wasn't justified. And by that I mean that one of the reasons why I didn't really want to share or do a message is I'm not comfortable with public speaking, you know, and it's also based on a lot on my ideas or lies that I was putting in my head that, well, you know what, they're not going to understand you when you speak with your French accent, and do you have anything really worthwhile sharing, and, you know, all these excuses and lies. But that was something that was really in me, you know, for a long time, that I wouldn't be able to be delivered from but for God. And so... And that was really, really strong. It really followed me for a long, long time. Just again, that idea, you know what? Do you really have something really, again, to say? And again, they're not going to understand you. You know, French accent cute, but I mean, what are you saying? So you know, it sounds so ridiculous, you know, when I say it, but it was really in my head, in my thoughts, and so. That just something that I basically hide behind or let control me a little bit and to not basically do what God was wanting me to do. So I am, even as I'm talking to you, I am just simply so thankful because it is freedom and it is amazing that God just by his love leads me to just becoming more of who he really created me to be, you know, and knowing that he does it in me. It is not something that I had to, you know, gather my strengths and say, I'm going to do it. And that's also the awesome part about it, is because once you say yes to God and you obey him, the things that you were fearful of initially become very easy and even joyful. When I said yes to Pastor to do this message, there was no fear. My heart wasn't pounding with fear and anxiety, which it always had before, whenever there was any thought or idea about me talking. And so even that, God, in our obedience makes that thing that we need to do or be easy and joyful. And I was looking, I mean, for the past 2 days, I've been looking forward to it, which, again, is amazing because this is not something that I was pursuing before, far from it. So I thank God. I thank God for it because it is really Him working within us to do His good pleasure, His both His will and His good pleasure, and really to complete what He wants, what He has started within us. This is, let me see, it's... I'm just looking for just a minute in terms of really trusting God and relinquishing everything to Him. He is so loving that He, even for the things that He asks us to obey Him about, He equips us with that. He doesn't even require us to just do, it's almost like we don't have to do anything. He's giving us, He's equipped us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. And He also wants us to, you know, He gives us everything that we need to be who He created us to be and to carry His work. In Hebrews 13:21, it says that it's, strengthens us and makes you what you ought to be and equip you with everything good that you may carry His will. He gives us everything we need. You know, all we have to do is simply saying yes. And so not making it something so difficult, not saying, you know, I have to behave, what do I need to exactly obey you about? No, just say yes to God when you recognize the opportunity to just obey Him. So I thank God for that. Yes, God, thank you. Thank you, God. And obeying God is not only doing what He tells us to do. It's also being who it says we are. And so that trust and that obedience in, you know, in His word, it's just we are, you know, powerful. We are His children. We have Christ living in us. The Holy Spirit empowering us, guiding us, leading us. This is who we are. And so trusting Him is not simply sometimes just in an act that we have to do, but it's just in obeying His instruction or believing the word that He says that we are everything He says we are. So I say that He created me loving talking, and I am no longer fearful of public speaking. I am embracing it. I am looking forward to it, and I just thank God because it is a gift that I want to use and really truly desire to use to bless others. It is not for me to simply just being able to say, hey, look at me, I was able to talk. It's just because I believe by God's guidance that I am able to share and bless someone. And that's all that matters. So thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that. And then as I was saying that the obeying to His call to talk to you and share today was made easier, it's also because, actually for two reasons. Once, as I mentioned, He had prepared me. He had already shown me that the comfort zone, I was going to have to get out of it. So I wasn't that surprised. And my heart was already prepared. So that was made very, I mean, easier to say yes. The other part was also that when I was talking to pastor, the spirit of obedience was there. Because if there is something that we know about pastor is that he obeys God. I mean, he leads by example and he obeys God. Even if he leads him in places that he's not comfortable with, you know, the change with going to Miami, it doesn't matter. He says yes to God, you know. And so leading by example, seeing our leader just doing that was really also a wake-up call. He's just, I want to obey God too, you know, and we've seen the blessings that that obedience has put on his life, in his life. And so just really just saying he's put so much in us by sharing God's word that obedience is also one of the things that I wanted to imitate, you know, at that point. And I think, I don't know if it was the fact that you know, he was no longer physically here, but it was just that wake-up call where now that things are changing, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to step up? Am I going to, you know, reassess my relationship with God? Because one thing is that, and we were talking about it, that the word that we receive here is so powerful, so amazing that, you know, we are really well fed, and that, you know, God just gave me that analogy about, you know, you eating and being fed is great, you know, you just, you know, you feel your belly, you're good. But the problem is that if you do not get out there or at least move around and exercise a little bit, that goodness that you had, this good meal, is going to sit right here and, you know, and stay there. We need to give it. We need to make it exit, you know, from, you know, our body. And so, and it's the sharing. That word, we well fed, fine, but let's share it. You know, let's share it. Let's have other people being able to benefit from it, you know, and to just have everything that we've received. That's been in my mind a lot for the past few months. Just what's next? What am I going to do? I could sense that I was going to be forced to, you know, again, do something that I hadn't done before. So that was that. And again, the change with, you know, pastor not being physically here all the time, that's really forced me or pushed me to reassess, so what am I relying on more? You know, meaning that we hear the word that pastor gives us, you know, that God gives to pastor and he shares with us very honestly and in a real, real, real manner. But sometimes, although, you know, he always encourages us to go to back to, you know, the Bible and check, you know, that what he tells us is really, you know, is scriptural and God said it. And I've been doing that, but it's just sometimes, you know, for the word, I know on Sunday I'm going to get it, you know. So it's been really a situation where I thought, let me now just reprioritize my relationship with God and really make sure that he's my default, in the sense that no matter what, I want to involve him first in what I do, what I think, what the next steps are, what I'm maybe thinking, and then only after, you know, seek the counsel as I'm led to do that. Not just relying so heavily on the word, I mean, I would say on pastor or on simply the word that we get on Sunday. And so I was identifying, you know, things that I could at times rely on more. Getting counsel and advice is actually great, but it needs to be first going to God and asking him, who do you want me to counsel? Who do you want me to get counsel from? You know, and not Because that's also very easy to think, why not go to someone who I know what they're going to tell me, because they're going to tell me something that I would be comfortable with, it's not going to rock my world, and, you know, and basically I'm basically saying, this is, I want to be my own counsel, because I'm going to go to someone who's going to say to me what I would tell myself. And that is something really that this year I got also shown me that I had to really change, to go get counsel. And because he has told me in the past to go to people for counseling, and my resistance was always, I get counsel from you, God. But the truth is, again, here, disobedience, first of all, right? Because if he tells me this is where you're getting your counsel from, this is what I need to do, and I'm not going to say, no, God, you're enough, because at that point, I'm basically being dishonest. I'm just saying, God, no, I just don't want to do it, and I'm just going to not pat you on the back, but say, God, you're so amazing, you're enough, that's it, you know, I don't need anybody else, while all I needed to know and hear is, you told me to get counsel and get advice from somebody, let me do it. So that is something also in terms of obedience that I you know, opportunities this year to do and also to look forward to get that counsel from the people that God leads me to go to, and to again obey God, to just simply obey God and show him that I love him, show him that I trust him. And so, and that I rely on him, and I want to rely on him more than anything else, more than I would rely on people, more than I would rely on money, because this is something also that we can do. You know, at times it's just, and I will share my experience in that is, you know, sometimes people talk about, yes, we want money, you know, we want money because we will be able to do this and that, and it makes our life easier. And money is good and is important, and God is the one who gives us the power to get wealth. So it's nothing to be rejected at all. But again, in terms of obedience and trust and reliance, what do we rely on? You know, are we going to rely on the money that we have, or thinking that security comes from there? You know, we're fine, we have savings, and I'm speaking for myself. Years ago, that's what really basically happened. I was saving money, and I had savings, and I made money, and my cushion, my comfort, you know, I'd be fine. I was thinking, I'll be fine. As long as I have savings, you know, what can happen, really? You know, I will pay for it. It will be, you know, I won't be without a roof. I won't be without, even if I don't have a job. Well, I have the money, so no problem. And then, again, God was dealing with me on that, because he is my support. He is my rock. He is, you know, the one I need to rely on at all times. And also, just understanding what money is. Money, like everything else, can go away in a heartbeat. And then what do you have left? So, long story short, it was a time where I was working at a bank that ended up going bankrupt. And so then everything trickled down where not only, you know, the 401k that I have at that bank went from pretty fat and good to... where are you? Oh, that's money, okay. And so I was laid off. And because I didn't have my grid card at the time, I had to go back to France, pretty much. Now, I go from a lot of savings to no savings, pretty much, no savings. No job. Living with my mom, which... by the way, I mean, I love so dearly, and it was probably the best part about going back, having to go back to France, because I could spend quality time with her. But it was a big change, because I had been living by myself for 10 years. So the whole picture wasn't really, you know, great. And then I had this interview And I remember thinking and telling God, I said, God, you know what? You are my provider. And if I get this job, it's only going to be because of you. Because first of all, the way I thought the interview went, there was no way I was getting the job. But at that very moment, I say, God, I trust you. And I just know that you are a man of your word. You are not someone who lies. And you are my provider. So I know that I will get that job. And I did get the job, but the bottom line was, and with the money that came with it, but it from that point on, it completely changed the way I saw money. First of all, it's just knowing that I cannot rely on it, you know, even 2%, or you know, because it can go away for so many reasons. You know, but at that point, I knew that God was going to provide for me, especially in that area at all times. You know, and that's where I was just like, I know that no matter what happens, I have you, God, and you showed yourself. And even through that experience, being able to see who God was for myself, that he was my provider, that was also, that was very empowering, encouraging, and just again, humbling. So the reliance on money, I do appreciate it, and don't get me wrong, but I know, you know, do not be in love of money. The support comes and the provision comes from God. And I want, yes, this verse that I actually was standing on at the time, and or even if even any time I think, or, you know, just in terms of what really money is and what the priority should be. Hebrews 13:5, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have, for God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. And that's it. I mean, that was what I experienced. That was a word that now is in me and that I always stand on no matter what, because I know that the provision comes from God. That was another thing. Relying on money, no. Clearly something that not to be done. And then also in terms of relying on people or on system or institutions, to just, again, that is not a situation or that we need to, or people that we need to rely on. And what I say by that, when I say relying on, is just putting our first our full trust in them, you know, in those things. Because we can rely on obviously on people and things to a certain extent, but I think the bottom line is at the end of the day, just God. God is first. God is who he says he is, and God is never, he will not, I mean three times. So I guess he will not leave us helpless, forsake us, give up on us. And being able to actually learn it also for ourselves just is part of that walk and that process of getting to know God, of understanding that Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior. We have a personal relationship with him, and he will not disappoint. He will show himself, and he does every time. We were singing during praise and worship, you know, the promises stand, and the confidence is that he has never now I don't remember the words. Yes, he has never failed. Thank you, Ruth. He has never failed us. And I don't like the yet, because it will not. There is no yet. It will never happen. He will never fail us. You know, it's not something that we need to think about and wait for it to happen. No, it's just simply not going to happen, because God is our Father. He loves us and is always there for us, our support. You know, we fail, go astray. He's always loving us and just bringing us back to Him, because we belong to Him. So that's another thing that made me think about what are the things that I may sometimes rely on too heavily, and that again, systems or thinking that the provision again may only come one way or only from one person, something, and briefly, and I talked about it years ago about the green card. Because I didn't have the green card at the time. I was working under a visa. And so after the layoff and I had to go back to France, I still wanted to come back to the US, but everything that I was doing was always seeking a job with an employer that would agree to sponsor me for a visa. And that's the only way I thought I could come back to the US. And again, here, limiting God, because that's the only thing or the only way I could see that happening. You know, it's not like nothing is impossible to God, or, you know, that there is nothing too difficult for Him. I was just so limiting Him that that's all I saw. And God always gives us more and does things in a way that is so much greater than what we would ever have thought about. Long story short, there is this green card lottery, I think it's still happening, where basically people can win the green card to come to the US. Now, it's a lottery, so drawing, random, and, you know, how many people want to come to the US? A lot of people. So I think at that year it was about 14 million people who entered the lottery. So I'd been doing that for 10 years. And of course, that year, I was, you know, I did it again because I really wanted to come back. And then it's funny because, again, I was limiting God and just saying that He was going to, the only way I was going to come back here was through a visa. And so I entered the lottery. I'm hoping that I will win, but, you know, it's been 10 years, so 10 times. So I get the results, and I didn't get it. You know, I didn't get it. And at that point, I was very discouraged. I was telling God, listen, I can't stay here. I can't stay here, so, you know, you need to do something. And if not, I'm going to go to London. I just can't stay in France. So anyhow, and then something that had never happened in the past, at the time in the 10 years where I've been entering the lottery, is that 2 weeks later, they sent an email and basically said the results are canceled because they realized there was a glitch. All the people who entered the lottery in the first 2 weeks of that specific month won. So because it was supposed to be something random, they realized, no, there is a glitch. So we are going to do another drawing. And I said, God, I know what you're doing. At that point, I knew. I was like, are you doing what I think you're doing? And so a month later, the result came. I didn't even want to look at them. I think I waited a week before looking, and I just saw that I actually won the lottery. That was one, God showing me that He was going to do it. You know, now it's a lottery. We always think about it as random. But again, what is impossible to God? Absolutely nothing. And so, again, seeing that God came through, loved me so much that He favored me out of, I mean, it was about 100,000 people winning the lottery out of 14 million. Now in France, it was only 500 people. So all that to say that, again, you care and you love me so much that you, for something that we see as small, take the time to just, you know, favoring me and giving that to me out of all these other people. And again, reliance, you know, being able and seeing that I can trust God because He provides and He controls the situation. You know, He can turn things around, or not even turn around because that was his plan all along, but He just, you know, allows to see also what He's doing for us. So that was another thing too, that just to not rely on, you know, only a certain way of doing things and just trusting God for doing what He does, you know, not telling Him how He should do it. And the final thing that I can rely on, and I still do at times, let's be real, I do it a bit too often, it's me. But we all know what happens when we rely on us too much, right? I don't need to talk about it. You know, the results are not really what they're supposed to be. It's too hard also. It's too burdensome. It's just too much weight on us to have or to make things happen. So, again, all that, the year of obedience and, you know, prosperity in obedience and valuing and understanding what obedience is, just getting those opportunities to obey, to learn to love obedience, to learn to love God through obedience. I just say, God, really, thank you. Just thank you. Just thanking Him to give us the opportunities to just, yeah, be obedient to Him. And so it's what I would say is just trust God, obey Him, trust Him, and see what happens when you give Him the opportunities to show Himself to you, to show you how much He loves you, how loving He is, how faithful He is, how truly is with us wherever we go, whatever we do. See what happens when we obey Him and we trust Him and we don't forget who He is, how nothing is impossible to Him, how we trust also and obey who we are in Him. Even if we don't think that we have the skills and understanding that He's the one doing it, He's the one working in us. And so we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Key words, through. He's the one. He's the one doing it for us. He's the one strengthening us. He's the one giving us the ability. This is why we can do anything. It's because we're not the one doing it. God is. Jesus Christ is. And so there's no limit to what God can and will do for you if you just say yes and give Him the opportunity and make yourself available to Him. Amen. So with that, I would just say, let's not miss an opportunity to put a smile on God's face and glorify Him.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.